Welcome to Now Church. But so glad you're here with us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better. Thanks for being here.
All right, today's message is called Grace for the Pace of the Race. I like that. We're on our theme, Run to Win. We're talking this month about our core values as a church, why we exist, why we're here as a church. It's important that you know these things, and I'll tell you more over the next few weeks, even why it's important and why we want to really get these into the culture of our church more and more. We believe in these things, but we haven't always gotten them fully into the body to become culture builders that they're supposed to be. So that's why we're focusing on it this whole month. We said run to win. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. We said part of running is training. Part of training is getting your why. If you're going to run a long distance, at some point your body and your mind are going to go, hey, why are we doing this? I don't want to do this. This is painful. Establish your identity and your purpose in the race. I would give you a whole scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just going to read one verse to remind you from the Message Bible. Paul writes, you've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. One wins. Run to win. Everybody say run to win. The context of that is that we need to do whatever it takes to win lost and broken and hurting people to Jesus, enter their world, understand their perspective, have empathy and compassion without compromise. Say amen. Amen. There's an old saying that I want to bring to your attention. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. What gives you the right to talk about the Lord or to share your testimony or just to plant a seed of life in somebody is the fact that you care for them, that you're interested in them, not just interested in you telling your story. It's about you having compassion, hearing where people are, being a good listener at times, right? There's a refreshing reminder. We showed you, well, we didn't get to show you last week. I'll talk about that more in a minute. But we have a great, something I want you to see. One of the things we say around here at the church is stay on the highway of truth. Every truth has a lane with vocal extremists on either side that scream at each other. They react to each other and try to get us off the road of truth and into the ditch on either side. You think of any truth, anything you could think of, and I'm telling you, there are extremists on both sides that want to pervert and pollute that truth and try to undermine it by the extremes of it. Stay on the truth. Stay on the highway. Stay in the middle of the road. Not in the middle of the road, but in your lane. Stay in your lane, you know? To run the race, you got to stay in your lane on the highway. Build endurance. Have perseverance. I told you last week that our own Nakota Curiel was a sprinter in high school, and she is preparing, she felt the Lord inspire her to run a marathon. So she's in training right now. So I met with her after church last week, and I said, so what's the biggest challenge of being a sprinter, and now you're trying to run 26.2 miles or whatever it is? She said, the hardest thing is the pace. She said, I have trouble slowing down enough. She has an app that tells her, here's how fast you need to go, and she keeps finishing too fast, and she's not going to have enough left to finish the race. That'll preach. That's what I want to talk about today, grace for the pace of the race, because you have to understand, to even for her as a runner, there's different kinds of running. You know, there's different races. There's a lot of races that you're on your own. There's a lot of races where you're handing off a baton to somebody else. And that's really the race we're running right now, right? We're all running the baton, the pass the baton type of race. Anyway, stay on the highway of truth. Stay out of the ditches of extremism. We weren't built to go off-road. What I mean by that is the Christian life is like driving a finely tuned precision engine car like a Lamborghini. Until you see our identity in Christ, a lot of people, they don't have any self-worth, so they let their body do whatever it wants to do, or people do to their body whatever they want to do with their body, because they don't see themselves. They see themselves as an off-road vehicle. And I'm telling you, you're a Lamborghini in Christ. When you've been recreated in Christ, you don't just let your body do whatever it wants to do. Paul the Apostle said, I buffet my body. I mean, he said buffet, but I say buffet. They're both spelled the same. Sometimes I read it as buffet when I get close to the holidays. But anyway, the reality is you have to rein yourself in. You can't just let your mind do whatever it wants to do or your body do whatever it wants to do because you're free. That's not freedom. Freedom is within guidelines. Freedom is within parameters, okay? So stay out of the ditches. Get your identity in Christ. Quit driving off-road. Quit driving through the mud when you should be driving on the track that God's given you. The Bible cautions us not to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. I want you to be radical in passion for Jesus, but balanced in the way you carry him to the world. Be radical about Jesus, but be balanced in everything else. Amen? This month we're focusing on our 12 core values as a church, our distinctives. Our text is 1 Kings 18:31, where it says, Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. We have an altar here in our church for the last many years of 12 stones of our core values. These are things we stand for. These are the backbone of what you don't see on a Sunday morning when you come in, but you feel the benefit of. These are our 12 foundation stones. And last week we talked about number one was connection. We live in the middle of a loneliness epidemic. Right now, people are describing themselves as lonely more than at any other time. And a lot of the things people are dealing with, they're saying the root cause of gender dysphoria and a lot of stuff out there and confusion about certain things that are out there in the world is because people are lonely and trying to create their own connection in a wrong way to something else that's disjointed in their minds or hearts. So connection to the local church is crucial. Everyone needs it, even if they think they don't. Number two, prayer. Relationships require communication. We said it's time to learn to pray individually and pray as a body. I want to thank those of you that showed up. We had a lot of extra people come for prayer on Friday night for our united church-wide prayer, we call it. Very, very powerful. Last week started off with a bang, didn't it? Literally, there was a wreck down the road. If you were here, if you were watching us online and didn't get to see everything, it's because there was an accident down the road and 2,000 businesses and homes lost power between here and Bellevue right during our second song of worship and praise. It was really interesting. Sometimes you don't know what you have inside of you till you go through something, right? Well, let me tell you something. Our team did a fantastic job. Pastor Lindsay, first of all, yeah, give the team a hand. Pastor Lindsay just grabbed an acoustic guitar and kept strumming, and then we sang in a cappella, and the presence of God came anyway. In fact, strong. And we kept pressing through. We missed you. We missed those of you that were away on vacation for summer or whatever. But the fact is you got to build endurance to reign with Jesus, it says in 2 Timothy 2:12. So understand, our team did a great job. Pastor TK went to check on all the kids' church classrooms immediately, brought flashlights. Someone called the power company. Leaders kept leading. Ushers kept ushing. Pastor Lindsay kept pivoting, grabbed an acoustic guitar, kept on worshiping Jesus. People began lighting up their phones. I thought we were doing kumbaya for a minute. We were all at camp. If you were here, you know what happened. But as I'm standing here, we went and preached the word anyway. And Gabe and Ryan and our tech guys, Landon, they started building a set around me of fans and lights and even gave me a microphone that didn't work very well. But it worked better. But I still had a voice at the end of the day, which was a miracle. Anyway, just what a tremendous opportunity. Why? Because the church kept on being the church. That's what you have to know. I had somebody say, we were at a memorial service yesterday for our precious friend Kathy Gresser, went to be with the Lord this past week, and the family was together. Somebody came up to me at the memorial and said, we were amazed because we thought most churches, if the power goes out, they would cancel service. But you kept going not only through second service, but we had a really great crowd for third service. And we started out completely in the dark. But let me tell you something. For those of you that weren't here, we found a new way. You know, a lot of times people come in, they like to hide in the back and sit in the back. And that's okay. We're not trying to expose you right now if you're toward the back. We love you. We're going to give you time to move up. Okay? It's okay. 3-week challenge. Come to Now Church 3 weeks in a row. See what God does. And as you get into that and lift off, please begin to move toward the front. Now, we found a cure. We found the way because people here, they like to hide. So anyway, last Sunday, third service, we got generators and we had a mobile air conditioner over here and a mobile air conditioner over here and nowhere else in the room, and everybody moved up front. So starting next week, we're only going to put on the air conditioning toward the front vents. So if you like to sweat, you can sit in the back. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that, but it did cross my mind anyway. We lived our core values in the open because our values were about connection and prayer, and we did both. It was almost like a planned illustrated sermon. Sometimes I will say this, don't get too dependent on all this stuff. I love the screens. We didn't start out with anything. We didn't even start out with a very good sound system. In the beginning days, it was me and this man over here, Marv Wiebe, was my sound man. Now his son and his grandson working in our tech crew. Marv Wiebe and me, we led praise and worship. Marv would play tracks before we had Pastor Lindsay. We'd play CDs. Anybody remember? We even had tapes. Anybody remember cassette tapes? Didn't we, Marv? And I would give him a song list. I would spend all day Saturday working on the songs. He would have the song. And I'd say, hit it, Marv. And we had praise and worship. We didn't have all this stuff, but you know what we had? The same Holy Spirit. That same presence of God, the same reverential awe of his presence. He's a good God. He's not dependent on this. Let's not us be addicted to it. I love it. Let me tell you something. I love icing on the cake. Anybody like Oreos where you open them up and go for the frosting first? That's me. But I don't need the frosting as much as I need the cookie, the cake. I need the main thing to be the main thing. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we're so grateful today in all these things. So today we're going to go for two more core values. Last week, connection and prayer. This week, number three, spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. We believe that healthy people continue to grow closer to the Lord and get stronger in him. Did you know that spiritually there's actually no standing still in the kingdom? You can't be static. You really can't. Jesus is always moving. The Holy Spirit is always moving. There are moments where it doesn't look like much is happening. But the way the Holy Spirit moved is the fire, the cloud by day and the fire by night in the wilderness. He would pick up and move. 40 times in 40 years, the Spirit of God would begin to shake and move. And they said, uh-oh, we're getting ready to move again. The Holy Spirit is always trying to take us forward. You have to be prepared as a believer to grow spiritually. And let me say this to you. I wanted to put this in my notes, and I didn't get to, but it comes up in my spirit anyway. You are personally responsible for your own spiritual growth. Wow. See, a lot of people want to, I love that you love to be here, but I can only give you one, I hope I give you one good steak and potatoes meal a week. I'm hoping that you esteem what we give you here as something good, something solid, a good meal. But that's not the only meal you eat. You need to feed yourself in the Word tomorrow morning too. You need to build yourself up in your most holy faith every day. Understand, spiritual growth. I'm responsible. Listen, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me into green pastures. He leads me beside still waters to restore my soul, right? He leads me. I can't make you eat the green grass. I can only lead you to it. I can't make you drink from the stream. I can only bring you to it. And hopefully you find that here. Hopefully online you find that here. That we're giving you green pastures and still waters, okay? But you have to drink it. You have to eat it. You have to feed yourself. You have to do that. If you're not growing, you're shrinking. We encourage people in our church from day one to be high impact, low maintenance. What does that mean? That means that in the beginning days of the church, there was something called high impact aerobics. Today, you'd probably call it Zumba or something like that. But it was like high impact aerobics. Well, high impact, there's high impact people. They make a difference. And there's low impact people. They don't make any difference at all. There's high maintenance people that just, you know, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I'm always needy. I'm always a victim. I'm always blaming somebody else for where I'm at. That is low impact, high maintenance. That's the opposite of what you need to be. Spiritual growth is, God wants you to balance that out. Be a high impact, low maintenance person. That doesn't mean you never have a need, but I'm saying you don't have a crisis. Some people live from crisis to crisis every week. In the early days of the church, there was a lot of that. We were only 150 people, under 200 when we bought this land in 1994. A lot of pioneers came and paid the price. But discipleship means the ongoing process of following Jesus day by day. Being taught, corrected, and encouraged to align your habits, decisions, and heart with God's way, God's kingdom way. You need to be aligned with that. That's discipleship. That's spiritual growth. And it happens relationally by being around people, and also happens systematically by teaching, by systems and structures never before. It's the last few years have been so good to be able to have devotions online with you version of the Bible on your phone. That's great, but don't let it be a crutch to not read your Bible. Okay, but systems and structures are good for those things. Think of discipleship as an apprenticeship. If you're going to be a plumber, they're not going to just send you to plumbing school. They're going to maybe give you a crash course in some things. Right now, did you know plumbers and electricians are some of the highest paid people in our culture today? They don't have master's degrees, most of them, or business degrees, or PhDs. What they have is a system where they take somebody that doesn't know much about it, and they apprentice them. They show them what it's like. They take them through. They show them and teach them. Then they correct them and adjust them. That's how Jesus trained the 12 disciples. That's why we call it discipleship. Discipleship is like apprenticeship. You learn by watching, imitating, practicing, obeying, and receiving correction. Nobody likes that, but it's the truth. The Holy Spirit doesn't force you to grow spiritually. He encourages you to go deeper in building a loving connection and relationship with Jesus to keep you moving forward in faith, hope, and love. The goal is not perfection. The goal is maturity. That you'd be more mature a year from now than you are today. Well, how do you do that? Well, part of it is be unoffendable. You know, there's a great promise in the Bible. It says, great peace have they which love your law, your word, and nothing shall offend them. Do you know that people that wear their heart on their sleeve get offended every week or get offended all the time? Usually have a very low word level. The Bible says if you're easily offended, you need to get in the Bible and dig for yourself. Because great peace have they which love your word, and nothing shall offend them. You know, church hurt is a real thing. But I reject it out of hand as an excuse to not connect with the body, not pray with the body, not grow spiritually with the body. You're a part of a body. You're a part of a body. And the enemy would love nothing more than to get you mad and offended what some stupid person did or what somebody did that wasn't stupid, but they didn't know they were doing it, and you got offended by it. And now you're out of the flow and you're not growing spiritually. Listen, you've got to take responsibility. Church hurt is real, but it is not an excuse. It is not a valid excuse not to love, not to forgive, and not to disconnect yourself. Say amen, those of you in the room. Say amen, those of you at home. Amen, I'm talking, you know who I'm talking to. Holy Spirit doesn't force you to grow. Listen, leaders are feeders, sometimes readers. I start out, you know, we didn't have all the podcasts like they do now. I still listen to podcasts once in a while. I saw a good one this week. But the reality is most of my feeding is reading. But I understand if you're better at watching something or listening to something, whatever. Find whatever way you learn best and do it. Learn that way. Do that. Why? Because discipleship is about leaning in to understand things, understand foundations and freedom, to make room for God in your life in areas where you don't have Him yet. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? See, if somebody were to ask you, well, why do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you know why? Do you know what to tell them? As you get more involved in the church, we answer questions like this. I try to stop sometimes and just turn and answer if I get a prompting of that. Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? How do you receive Him? What does it mean? Listen, the Word of God has an answer for all those things. Zeal, passion, first love. When you encounter Jesus in a real dynamic way, you'll never, ever, ever be the same. But you can't let complacency slip in and just make you feel like you already know everything. Let me just tell you something. Our God is so big and so mind-blowing. There are 10 million things more that you don't know about Him than what you do know. Even things in the Bible. He shows a different facet. If you have a diamond ring and you look at it, you can see different. If you turn that thing in a different light, you see a different facet, a different part of that diamond shines. Our God shines the light. The Holy Spirit shines the light on Him in different moments and different times. But you need to understand, you have to have a zeal for God. Lukewarmness is a disease. Jesus said lukewarmness makes Him want to spew. I love the quote from William Wallace from one of my favorite movies, Braveheart. Old movie, but boy, it's a great one. William Wallace said this, "All men die, not all men truly live." If you don't live in freedom, you don't really live. Growth in Christ followers' life increases through a desire for childlike worship, recognizing and affirming the greatness of God, His love, His mercy, power, compassion. I want to know Him more tomorrow than I did today. I need that. I want to grow spiritually. My wife grew up in a Baptist church and as we met in high school, she was telling me, in our church, we kind of got saved every week. Why? Because all they preached was salvation on Sunday morning. Well, that's great for people to get saved, but what do you do with people that are already saved? That's why what we strive for in this church in spiritual growth is to give you meat and potatoes, but while still leading people to Christ and making them hungry and thirsty for the things of God. So we're trying to do it all, but then it's not just here, it's also involvement in the departments, and we'll talk about that more as well, probably next week or two. I'll say this, hunger is healthy. Everybody say hunger is healthy. Hunger is healthy. One of the first signs of spiritual trouble in your spiritual growth is a loss of appetite. Healthy people crave more of Jesus. They crave more. I want more Holy Ghost. I want more Jesus. I saw a thing recently. Brother Kenneth Copeland had his big conference this past week or 2 weeks ago in Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth. And somebody's interviewing him, and he said, he's about to turn 90 in December. And he said, "I tell you, I'm hungrier more now for more of God than I've ever been in my life." That guy knows the word. He knows more about the word than, you know, he's forgotten more than I even know. He's known so much. But he's still hungry for God at 90? Dear God, that's what I aspire to. Preach you full and preach you hungry at the same time. That's the trick. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Number four and last for today. So number three is spiritual growth. Number four of our core values is an important one. Reaching others. Reaching others. We believe that found people find people. It's just simple. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the city on a hill that can't be hidden." 2007, we touched on it last week briefly. But 2007, we were 17 years old as a church. And we were growing in some ways, but here's what we weren't growing in. Our people were not bringing unchurched, unsaved, lost and broken and hurting people to the church. And we didn't realize it because we were on television for 9 years. We went off in 2007. Television was bringing people through TV 20, through Channel 55, and through satellite stuff. And people were moving to town and they were coming, but they were already like us. We didn't know it. So we thought we were growing. We had a few visitors every week. But they weren't unchurched, unsaved, lost and broken people. And so we didn't know. We didn't realize till we turned the church inside out at the word of the Lord to start reaching out for people that weren't like us. Our vision on the wall, building a relevant creative church, empowering people to reach others, reaching others. What are others? Others are people that are not like us yet. They may be totally different. They may be people you work with. Maybe people with, maybe God haters, but they still need God. How many of you know he loved us when we were unlovable? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for me when I was a foolish person making bad decisions and telling people I believe in God. That's enough. I believe in God. I believed in God in my head, but I hadn't encountered him with my heart. I hadn't given him permission. I hadn't honored him. I hadn't acknowledged him. I just believed in him. Well, the Bible says demons believe in him. That doesn't make them Christians. Although I've met some Christian demons, but that's a different story. But I don't get offended because I stay in the Word. Reaching lost people is the life's blood of every church. It breaks limitation. Right now, our challenge, folks, is that our culture is unchurched and biblically illiterate. Biblically illiterate. I'm not putting them down. They don't know because we haven't told them. There was a time when even the lost world at least knew about Joshua and the walls of Jericho, or Moses and the Ten Commandments, or David and Goliath, or Jonah and a whale. Today, some of those things are foreign language to people because they don't know the first thing about the Bible. If you told them there's an Old Testament and a New Testament, people would be just like, huh? That's okay. We like people like that. You know the good thing about people like that coming in and getting saved? You don't have to unlearn them a bunch of junk. They don't come in with all their religious hang-ups and all this nonsense of all these rules and regulations that aren't in the Bible. Reaching lost people is the life's blood of every church. It breaks the limitation off of us as a church, off of our selfishness. Because otherwise, there's something that exists called us four and no more. A mentality that says, we want the church to stay small so everybody can meet my need. Let me tell you something. God can meet your need, but he wants to meet your need by giving you seed. And seed I'm not talking just finance. I'm talking about seed of planting seeds and reaching other people. There are other people besides you. We used to have on the door here till a couple years ago, know God, make him known. You want to know your purpose as a Christian in the essence of it? The two things I said, a spiritual growth and reaching others. Know God, make him known. That's the bottom line. Religion tries to take things that are in the Bible and make them more complicated. But the Holy Spirit takes things and makes them more simple, where everybody can grab a hold of them. That's why I believe we can reach lost people on Sunday mornings, even in teaching and preaching and declaring the Word of God that helps Christians to grow spiritually, can help win people to want to grow spiritually. These things keep the river flowing. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, right? Well, what happens is the water gets stopped up the moment you forget about other people that are hurting. Can you at least think back for a moment to before you knew Jesus for real? And what difference that made in you where the light bulb came on in your heart, not just in your head, where you're like, oh my gosh, I need God. I need Jesus. You mean I can invite him in? Yeah, invite him in. And he comes in, and when you really have an encounter with God, when you have a real encounter, you know it. Nobody has to talk you into it. They can't talk you out of it either, that's for sure. He's so real. He's more real to me than anything I can see online. I've never seen him face to face, but I know that I know that I know that I know. And because I know, I want to reach other people that don't know. Some traditional churches often focus on taking care of a little flock, us four or no more. But life-giving churches, that's what we consider ourselves. We're non-denominational, we're independent church, but we are a life-giving church. If somebody asks you, what kind of church you go to? Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, Pentecostal? What kind of church you go to? We go to a life-giving church. That's how we want to be known. We're a life-giving church. Spiritual growth, reaching others. Life-giving churches understand the bigger picture, which is the purpose of God. Luke chapter 4, I'm almost done. Luke chapter 4 says, verse 42, this is Jesus right when he began his ministry. It says, now when it was day, Jesus departed, went to a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him, watch this, and tried to keep him from leaving them, us four no more. But he said to them, I must, everybody say must. I must preach the kingdom of God to the others, the other cities also, because for this purpose I've been sent. He sent for you. He sent for me. And listen, we're great with the three services in this building, but what about reaching more people? The reason why we need a new auditorium in the next couple of years is to reach others that don't know him at all, because we're in revival. Something is happening. Young people are coming out of the woodwork and saying, I want to know God for myself. So excited about Pastor Lindsay's group this Thursday night, the Young Adults Alpha. It's going to be fantastic. Ages 18 to 30. But you got to be hungry. You got to want to be there. We're not going to beg you to come. We're not going to pat you on the head and give you a gold trophy to come. You're responsible for your spiritual growth. You should try to be. Listen, when I got saved, my wife will tell you, when I got plugged into a church, right after about a couple years after I got saved, I got in this church here in Ocala that was in a move of God. I was there every time the doors were open. I was a young dad. I was just learning, but I was there every time the doors opened. Why? Nobody had to talk me into it. Then I said, let me serve. I want to serve. I want to be there. Listen, be hungry for God. Our why is always about warming and winning lost people. It's always about that. You may be an introvert, but could you be a bringer? You know what a bringer is? Somebody who just open to, when you meet somebody that's going through something, and you say, hey, come to my church. You don't have to explain to them everything you know about theology. Just invite them. Hey, I mean, do more than invite. In invitations, people say, I can't come. Listen, we'll go to Starbucks after. I'll get you a coffee. We'll go to lunch afterward. Come with me to church this Sunday. Just see what God does. We try to make it so easy for you to bring people here. That's the difference in the culture of the church from 2007 until now, is we make it easy for you to bring other people to church. They're not going to get religious gobbledygook. They're not going to get a bunch of junk. They're not going to get a bunch of filler. They're not going to get a bunch of hemming and hawing. Hey, oh, hell, oh, heaven, oh, ha. We're trying to give you some substance here. In the 25 minutes I have to speak to you every week, I try to give you some substance. I want you to know your pastors love you. But our why is always about warming and winning lost people. We love you. We do our best to minister to you and your family all the time, no matter how much the church grows. But we've got to reach others also. We have to. It's our purpose. It's the reason we're here. We exist for the next you and the next and the next of every age. I want to show you one more thing and I'm done. There's a great thing that Billy Graham talked about years ago called the chain of grace. It's simply a number line. They're going to put it on the screen for you. It's minus 10 to 0 and 0 to plus 10. The minus 10 is an atheist person. Think of somebody that's spiritually frozen and spiritually dead. Minus 5 would be maybe cold but thawing. How about that? -1 is cool but open. +1 is newly saved. So the line where somebody really gets from here to here and with salvation is 0. Okay, and then from there we grow our relationship with Jesus. It doesn't stop just because you got saved. Listen, salvation, when Jesus comes in Lord of your life, that's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. That's not just punching your ticket so you can go to heaven when you die and now you go live like hell. No. You're not off-road. You're a Lamborghini. You're designed by God, fearfully, wonderfully made. But you've got to grow spiritually. So the plus 10 is a passionate believer. That's great. There is an 11. The 11, you know what a fanatic is? That's somebody who loves Jesus just a little more than you do. And you go, oh, that's a fanatic. I was in Germany one time. It was a wild church service. Everybody had a drum. It was like boom, 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 boom. I was like, wow, these radical German people are on fire for God. And all of a sudden, this lady comes in the door. She is on the front line, but she was late, which I hate. She walks in though, and she sets something down, and she starts dancing like a crazy person. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking, well, she looks like a nut. And then the pastor leans over to me, right when I'm thinking that, he goes, wait till you hear her story. She was a prostitute and a drug addict, got on the street just a couple years ago, and we met her. And she comes in, and she's radical. And I said, she's a fanatic. I could see it, and I was like, Lord, forgive me. And the scripture came up in my heart, who's forgiven much loves much. Who's forgiven little loves little. I thought, oh boy, did I forget where I came from? Did I forget? And I started, I'm going to dance, I'm going to jump. Lord, forgive me. I got somewhere along the line, I got religious. And I didn't realize it till I was in a room full of radicals. You hear what I'm saying? Stay hungry. Stay thirsty, my friends. The chain of grace is this. You're not responsible to get everybody across the finish line from -1 to +1. You don't have to pray the prayer of salvation with everybody. But you are responsible to warm them. You're responsible to leave the atheists with maybe a question. Maybe to be an agnostic. I didn't believe, but now I don't know if I believe. You're responsible to get that person warmed up to the next level or two. That's only your responsibility. And then to be a bringer. Bring them to the house of the Lord. Don't beat them over the head with your Bible. Nobody wants that. But they do want to be warmed. They want to be loved. They want to be heard. They want compassion. They want empathy. Jesus still breaks chains. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Warm them up and you've done your job. Our core values, spiritual growth, you're responsible. And reaching others, you're responsible. But not in the way you thought. You have to do the heavy lifting. We'll do that as a body together. But when you get them, leave them warmer than you found them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the values of the house. Today we celebrate every life changed. We celebrate everyone leaning in and growing in the things of God. And we worship and honor you, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Lord, this week, would you put unchurched, lost, broken, and hurting people in our path? Would you help our lives to intersect with them at the grocery store, the doctor's office, or at school, as these teachers and students and administrators go back to school? Would you let us be the light of the world and the salt of the earth this week? Would you help us to make people thirsty for God? And if there's anybody in this room, if you don't know Jesus as Lord of your life, you can leave changed. But I can't do it for you. You have to open your heart. You have to pray a simple prayer and mean it. I'm going to lead you now. Everybody just pray this with me out loud. Just say, Jesus. Say it again. Jesus, come into my life in a brand new way. I give you my heart and my direction. Come fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Force out all the junk in my life and help me to live for you. Lord, help me to grow spiritually, to understand your word, and help me to reach the lost with your love through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get that today? Praise God.
We're so glad you joined us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better, view our calendar, and experience our online campus live or on demand. Thanks again, and see you soon.